Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. As we come to God's Word, let's ask for God's help. As we come to the Gospel this evening, the preaching of God's truth, God indeed will speak to our hearts. They will know and feel the force of God's truth in our own souls. Our Father in heaven, we just bless Thee once again for this time, this opportunity that is afforded unto us to come before Thee and to come even as a band of Your people, and to meet and to assemble together in this fashion around Your precious word. We bless Thee, Lord, for our Saviour once again. We thank You that because He has conquered death, that our death, those that know Christ, our death shall be that great escape from death itself. We bless Thee, Lord, that forever with the Lord will be our experience. And we can say with absolute confidence and truth tonight, Amen, so let it be. Lord, we bless You for our hope. We bless You for this assurance that is ours in Christ Jesus, that He will come and He will redeem us even from the grave itself and take us to glory to be with Him forevermore. Lord, now as we come to the preaching of Your word, we pray, O God, Thou wouldst give us hearts and minds that are attentive even to Thy very truth tonight. Give us help to preach Your word. We acknowledge, we confess our need of Thy help. Pour upon us of Thy Spirit tonight. And as Thy word is preached, may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 5 is one of the most miraculous portions to be found in all of the Word of God. Three miracles, three mighty miracles, three life-changing miracles are recorded for us in this chapter for our spiritual benefit and for our spiritual blessing. The first of these miracles was the deliverance of the demonic man from the power of the devil. And what a powerful demonstration of Christ's power over the devil that was. Christ came, and in a word, in a command, He delivered this man who for years had been tormented, who for years had been troubled of the devil. Christ liberated him. Christ set him free as He spoke the word of life to him. And then we have also the deliverance of the sick woman from the power of disease. This lady had been troubled again by disease for many years. She had been greatly afflicted by this terrible disease. But yet Christ, as He came, in a moment she was delivered. As she took hold of Christ's garment by faith, she was instantly cured and instantly delivered. What tremendous power! The power of Christ was demonstrated as this woman was made whole as she took hold of the Savior. This evening, in coming to God's Word, I want us to consider the last of these three miracles. And that is the miracle of Christ delivering a young girl from the power of death. And considering these three miracles collectively, and this is something that we must do, this is something we ought to do, because the Holy Spirit in God's Word has brought these miracles together. He has placed them together in the Word of God. And so we must consider them collectively. We must consider them together. And as we do that, as we consider these miracles all together, what we're brought to see is the miraculous power of God's salvation. That is what is brought out. That is the lesson of Mark chapter 5. The miraculous power of God's salvation. We can say this is the central truth. This is the unbroken thread that runs through this portion of God's word. The miraculous nature of God's salvation. And thinking of the three people mentioned in this chapter, these three people that felt the power of Christ's salvation, we see in each of their lives that Christ meets their particular need in full. He, in a miraculous way, provides a complete salvation for them. These people all had different problems. One was tormented of the devil. Another had a terrible disease. And another was a tragic case of death. And yet in each case, the Lord Jesus is the answer. In each case, Christ comes along and He miraculously saves. Now when you put these three miracles together, what we witness is an all-sufficient Savior. A Savior who is able, in a miraculous way, to meet man's need in full. And that is what Mark chapter 5 testifies of. The Lord Jesus delivers from the power of the devil. Therefore, He saves from the captivity of sin. And man, of course, is a great captive to sin. He is held by sin. He's got a sinful nature. He is a slave to sin. Christ delivers from the captivity of sin. The Lord Jesus delivers from the power also of disease. Therefore, He saves from the corruption of sin. He changes man's nature. He changes man's heart. And He makes him a new creature. He delivers us from the corruption of sin. The Lord Jesus delivers from the power of death. And therefore we can say, he delivers from the consequences of sin. And death is the great consequence of sin. It is the great result. It is the great tragedy of sin. We suffer death. And that's what God told our first parents in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They ate the forbidden fruit. In that day they would surely die. And so death is the great consequences of sin. But what we see in Mark 5 is that Christ again delivers from the consequences of sin. He delivers from death. This miraculous chapter in the Word of God commends the captured, corrupted and condemned man. An all-sufficient Savior provides a miraculous salvation. A salvation which meets the need of powerless, poor, perishing man in full. This chapter begins with a life controlled by the devil. And it ends with new life in Christ. And you see, that is exactly what the miracle of God's salvation does. It delivers men out of the grip of Satan and brings them into new life in Christ. It liberates. It renovates. It elevates. It makes new creatures. All things pass away and all things become new. This is the general message or the general theme of this wonderful, this miraculous portion in the Word of God. It sets forth Christ's miraculous salvation. This evening then, as we come to focus our thoughts upon the last of these three miracles, we are considering this young girl who Christ delivered from the power of death. This young girl Christ delivered from the power of death. In the miracles of our Savior recorded in Scripture, there are three resurrection miracles. On three occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ came along and people who had died, people who had passed away, were restored to life again. We have this miracle where Jairus' daughter is raised to life. Then we have the Lord raising the widow of Nain's son. And then we have Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, raised to life. These miracles were all unique in themselves. And they brought unspeakable joy to those that felt the loss and pain of death. And we can imagine the setting in each case. How death had brought grief and sorrow. But when the Savior came along, when the Savior delivered from death, then the whole situation was turned around. And there was joy and gladness. However, the three resurrection miracles also testify to us of how Christ will one day deliver all of his people from the great enemy of death. And that is what the three resurrection miracles testify of. How Christ is coming back for his people. How Christ will once again come to this world. And on that day, he will deliver our bodies from the great enemy of death. He will raise us from the grave and he will lift us up into heavenly places with his Son. And there we shall reign with him for all eternity. And that's what these miracles remind us of. They remind us that Christ one day will not only deliver our souls from death, but he will also deliver our bodies from death as well. And so as we think of this final miracle in Mark 5, this is a subject that is before us this evening. Deliverance from death. Deliverance from death. It is the most tremendous subject. It is a subject that each and every person in this meeting ought to have an interest in, because each one of us is facing death. Each one of us will one day be lowered into the ground. Each one of us one day will be taken by the enemy of death. There are a number of things I want us to note here in this life-giving miracle. First, notice with me we have a common problem displayed in this miracle. A common problem displayed. Notice again the words of verses 21 to 23. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. The Lord Jesus now has crossed over the Sea of Galilee again. And he was engaged in the work that he was normally engaged in. He was preaching to the people. He was setting before the people the truth of God. We read that much people gathered unto him here. As the Savior then dealt with the people, he was confronted by a man who was greatly distressed. This man's name was Jairus, as we have read here. And he was distraught because his daughter of 12 years of age, she was lying at the point of death. We can imagine the kind of heartache and anguish that filled the soul of Jairus. His little girl, the girl that he loved, the girl that was precious to him, was grievously ill. And as he watched her condition deteriorate, he could see that the cold hand of death was grasping for her. We can see desperation of Jairus, both in his actions and words here. Verse 22 speaks of how he fell at Jesus' feet. And there is that sense that he came and he expressed his great need as he fell down before the Savior. He was expressing his desire that the Savior would come with him. His complete desperation here as he falls down in the ground, in the dirt, before the Savior. And then verse 23 tells us he besought him greatly. He besought him greatly. And the word greatly literally means plenteously. And so we could read these words, he besought Christ plenteously. There he is with a passionate, persistent cry, pleading for his daughter. Pleading that Christ would come and that Christ would visit his daughter. And he's filled with passion. He's filled with persistence. He's not going to let Christ go. He's not going to let the matter pass, as it were. And we see the effects of this. Because in verse 24 it tells us, and Jesus went with him. In passing, it is important we note something here. In the behavior of Jairus, there is a powerful lesson for parents and for grandparents. A lesson for parents and grandparents who are concerned for the spiritual well-being of their children and of their grandchildren. Our concern ought to drive us to follow Jairus' example. It ought to cause us to follow his example here set forth. Here was a man and he realized his daughter was in a terrible, dangerous position. And let me say this, if your children and grandchildren are not saved, they too are living in a most dangerous position. Therefore, it ought to cause us to follow Jairus' example and get to the feet of Christ and there plead plenteously for their souls and for their welfare. Oh, we must not miss this very important point tonight. A vitally important point in this story. Because we see here the result of Jairus' pleading. Jesus went with him. And that's what we want for our children and our grandchildren. That Jesus would go with us to them. And they would be saved and delivered. But as we think of the problem displayed in this miracle, we can say it is the great common problem. It is the great common problem. The problem that Jairus was faced with is the same problem that faces each and every individual born into this world. It is the great problem of death. The problem of death. The hymn writer wrote, death, he is the king of terrors, and a terror unto kings. Oft he fills our minds with horrors, telling us of frightening things. In a world cursed with sin, death is the most dreadful and the most distressing issue facing man. That is the big issue. That is the big problem. The problem of death. As we read here of how death came crashing into the home of Jairus, we see that death, when it comes, it is unrespecting in its nature. It is unrespecting. Jairus' daughter was only 12 years of age. As we think of this young girl, we would say, listen, she had her whole life in front of her. She was but a youngster, but a child. And she would have had her plans and all the things she wanted to engage in. She was just a child. Death shows no respect. It comes. Jairus himself was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man that was involved in God's work. But we see, death, again, did not respect that. Even though he had position, even though he was a man that was respected in the community because of this position, yet death had no respect unto person or possession. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, we are all like trees marked for the axe, whether great as the cedar or humble as the fir, the appointed hour is stealing on apace. We are all marked. We are all marked for the axe. The death axe is coming. And it's only a matter of time. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us, it is appointed unto man once to die. Each one of us in this meeting has an appointment to keep with death. And we will keep that appointment. We will keep that appointment. When that time arrives, we will be on time for the appointment of death. And let us not forget that death, when it comes, is unrespecting. It cares not whether you're a child or a young person, a middle-aged person or an older person. Death is no respect for health or wealth. It is no respect for power or poverty. At any time, death could just come up behind us and drag us out of this world. And this is the very nature of death. It is unrespecting, the most unrespecting thing that there is. We see this very clearly in the death of this young girl. Death, when it comes, it's unrespecting. We can also say here, it is unresisting. The unresisting nature of death is very evidently seen as Jairus' daughter died. In verse 35, Jairus receives the worst news possible. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As Jairus goes to fetch the Savior, and as the Lord makes his way to Jairus' home, where his daughter lay gravely ill, a messenger from Jairus' house meets them and relays the tragic news. "My daughter is dead. She's passed away." This must have been like a dagger in the heart of Jairus. He had tried everything to deliver his daughter from death, and it was clear that this man was a man of substance because he had servants. He was a man, therefore, of wealth. And undoubtedly, he would have tried to find the best medical care for his daughter, tried to find a remedy for her condition. Seeking the Savior seems to have been the final course of action, the last attempt to save his daughter's life, because as he comes to the Savior, it is then that his daughter lies at the very point of death. But alas, he now receives the sad news. "My daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And the messenger bearing the bad news was really saying to Jairus, "Jairus, it's over. It's over. And we have lost. We have lost the fight. We have lost the battle for your daughter's life. Jairus, it's over. She's gone. She's died. There's no point in troubling the Savior anymore." That's really what he was saying, this messenger. And you see, death is unresisting. It cannot be resisted. It cannot be held back. It cannot be stopped. J.C. Ryle, the Protestant Bishop of Liverpool, says, "Death will not be kept out by locks or bowers. It will not be kept out. It is an enemy that will come in, and we cannot stop it." So many people today are focused upon prolonging their lives. And we see this all around us in our world. And people are focused upon living long, and they eat healthily, and they exercise, and they're worried about safety. And of course, all of these things have their place, their proper place in our lives. But never forget, when death comes, when it comes for you, when it seeks you out, all of your health, all of your exercise, all of your medical concerns will not stop the hand of death. It will not be kept back. It will not be kept back. Death is unrespecting. It is unresistant in its nature. It is this great common problem which all face. Therefore, preparation is the only wise course of action. Preparation is needed. Preparation is what we must do, because of the very nature of death. And we see it here in the story of this young girl who died. When death comes, we cannot stop death as he comes to work in our lives. Therefore, preparation is what is needed. We must prepare for the time of our death. Proverbs 22:3 tells us, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Prudent man, the wise man, he foresees the evil. And you know what the evil is? The evil is death. The evil is death. Oh, are you going to be wise tonight? Are you going to be prudent? Are you going to hide yourself from the enemy of death? And of course, the only place you can hide yourself is in Christ, because He is the one who has conquered death. Are you going to be simple? And the word simple means foolish. Are you going to be foolish and just pass on through life and then in the end be punished? What are you going to do tonight? We see here in this miracle a common problem displayed. But then notice with me, secondly, not only a common problem displayed in this miracle, notice also a comforting promise declared in this miracle. A comforting promise declared. Notice what it says in the words of verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. As the Lord Jesus hears the sad news brought by the messenger from Jairus' household, He turns to Jairus with these great words of promise. Be not afraid, only believe. What wonderful words these were. Words from the mouth of the Savior. Death had just devastated this man's life. He had just received the worst news possible. And yet, the message Christ had for Jairus was one of hope in the face of hopelessness. The message Christ had for Jairus was one of deliverance in the face of despair. This is what Christ does in the gospel. He brings deliverance and hope where there is despair and hopelessness. The message of the gospel to dying man in this dying world is simply this. Be not afraid, only believe. Just that is the message of the gospel. To dying creatures in this dying world, God would say to us, be not afraid, only believe. Death is the common problem that all men are faced with, but Christ's words to us are the same as to Jairus. There is no need to fear death. There is no need to fear this great enemy. Instead, believe. Believe in me. This is the glorious message of the gospel. As the Lord Jesus spoke to Jairus in his need, we see a number of things here. Notice with me the care of Christ as He spoke to Jairus. The care of Christ. I think it is important for us to note the care and compassion which the Savior had for Jairus. As Jairus faced the loss of a dear loved one, the Lord Jesus spoke the greatest words of comfort to him. He spoke the greatest words of comfort. He was compassionate. He was sympathetic. He spoke to encourage and support Jairus. In life, as we face the callous and cold hand of death, we should never forget that Christ is a great sympathizing Savior. One who cares when we feel the pain of parting and the loss of loved ones. Christ is the great sympathizing Savior. In the midst of our great grief and severe sorrow, we can go to Him, for He does care. We can bring all of our grief and all of our heartache to Him, because He's one that cares for our hearts. He's one that cares for us. In the three resurrection miracles, it is important to note that in each one of these miracles, the three resurrection miracles, the Lord Jesus always has a word of comfort to the bereaved. And that's important to note. As Christ was faced with death three times, in each of those occasions, He spoke a word of comfort to the bereaved. With the widow of Nain, as He came to the city of Nain, this is what He said to that widow that was grieving over the death of her son. He said to her, weep not. Weep not. He had a word of comfort for her. As He came to the tomb of Lazarus, Christ, we don't hear His word of comfort, but we see His actions that would have brought great comfort to Mary and Martha. Because it tells us, as Christ came to the tomb of Lazarus, that Jesus wept. And how that would have comforted the hearts of Mary and Martha as they were broken, as they were sorrowful. The Savior Himself, as He came beside them, He wept with them. He was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. He was broken as they were sorrowful. So again, He had that word and comfort for the bereaved. And here in verse 36, the Lord Jesus has a word of comfort for Jairus. Be not afraid, only believe. In our grief, Christ does care. Christ is concerned. And we should never forget that as God's people. Because when death comes, and death will come, and perhaps death has already come in your life, and you've lost a loved one, and you've felt the grievous pain of parting, and you've felt what it is to lose the one you've loved, and you feel that no one else cares and no one else knows, let me tell you, the Savior knows. And he would say, weep not. And he would weep with you. And he would say, be not afraid, only believe. Because he cares. And his heart is touched with your aching and with your pain. And so we see here, as Christ spoke to Jairus, the care of Christ. But then notice also here, not only the care of Christ, but the command of Christ. After the Savior tells Jairus, be not afraid, he then gives to him the command, only believe. Only believe. How plain is this command from the Savior, and yet how profound. As Christ commands Jairus, only believe, he was in fact saying, there is only salvation. There is only deliverance from death in me. Therefore, place your trust in me and only me. Only believe means only salvation in Christ. That's exactly what Christ was telling Jairus. Only believe means only believe in me. There is hope here. There is salvation, but it's in me. Therefore, believe in me. Trust in me. Leave the matter with me. This is the command of the Savior to all men. This is Christ's command to each one in this meeting tonight. As you face the reality that you are a dying sinner. You're a sinner that is dying and dying every day that you live. And you're headed for the grave. What will you do? Where is the deliverance? It's in Christ. Therefore, only believe. Only believe. The person who only believes does not trust in anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. What is it you're trusting in tonight? I've already said it is the common problem. The common problem is death. But how are you going to get over this obstacle? How are you going to deal with this common problem? You must face this reality. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to face it? Can the church? No, it can't save you. Can your life of effort and your life of religious duty save you? Not at all. It cannot deliver you from death. There's only one who's conquered death, and that is Christ. Therefore, you must believe in him. You must believe in him. On his deathbed, the preacher, Brownlow North, was asked, what assurance do you have in death? What assurance do you have in death? His response was clear. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the verse on which I am now dying. One once no more. One once no more. You see, here was a man that only believed. He believed that Christ had lived for him. That Christ had shed his blood for him. That Christ's atoning work dealt with the problem of his sin that was barring him from heaven and bringing him to eternal death. Christ had dealt with these matters for him. And therefore, as he faced death, he could say, I want nothing more than Christ. I need nothing more than Christ. And so it is for all. Therefore, only believe. Only believe. That was the command of Christ to Jairus in the face of death. And it's Christ's command to each one of us. And so we see here the care of Christ, the command of Christ. Notice also here the comfort of Christ. In Luke's Gospel, which also records this miracle, more details concerning what Christ said to Jairus are given. And in Luke 8 and 50, it records Christ says, fear not, believe only. And then it says, and she shall be made whole. She shall be made whole. In Mark, we don't have this statement. But in Luke, he records it that as Christ said to Jairus, fear not, only believe. Luke records that Christ said, she shall be made whole. These were the Savior's comforting words to Jairus. If you believe me, if you take me to your daughter, she shall be made whole. Now let us just for a moment try and put ourselves into the shoes of this man, Jairus. As he received this terrible news, the worst news that any father could ever receive, his heart no doubt would have been breaking. However, in the midst of this tragic situation, Jairus has to make a choice. We see this here in this narrative. Jairus, in the midst of his grief and sorrow, he has to make a choice. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not the only person speaking to Jairus here. As well as Christ's words, we have the words of the crowd. The crowd advised Jairus not to seek Christ anymore. The messenger from Jairus' house says, don't trouble him anymore. And then in verse 40, we see that even they laughed at the thought of Christ being able to help. Notice what it says in verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. And that's what the crowd did with Christ. And the thought of Christ being able to help, Christ being able to resolve the situation, they laughed Christ to scorn. And so this man was faced with a choice. Would he listen to the crowd that were saying, just forget about Christ? Or would he listen to Christ? What would he do? Let us imagine for a moment, Jairus had listened to the crowd. He had listened to their advice. He had said to Christ, listen, there's nothing you can do. It's ridiculous to think that you can do something now. My daughter is dead. Imagine Jairus had said that. And he had turned his back upon the Savior. Would there have been any comfort in following the advice of the crowd? Would there have been any succor and consolation for his heart? Of course there wouldn't. But Jairus did not listen to the crowd. He listened to Christ. And know what comfort he found in the face of death. For Christ came along and his daughter was made whole. She was delivered, she was saved. You see, the truth is, this world can offer no comfort in the face of death. This world has got no answer to death. This world has got nothing to comfort the dying. Absolutely nothing. And it is an absolute tragedy when someone passes away and all that a minister's got to say is some stories from the past, some reminiscing from the past. That is worthless to a soul that has died and gone into God's eternity. It's useless. There's no comfort in that. There's no comfort in memories. Nothing that can bring real solace and real comfort to the soul in the face of death. This world's got nothing. It's empty-handed completely. But by contrast, what comfort, what assurance is found in Christ? Complete contrast. The person dying in Christ dies with the great comfort that they will be made whole. They will be made whole. We sang that wonderful hymn. In death we shall escape from death. That is those that are in Christ. Their dying is leaving this world of dying behind. Leaving this world of pain and trouble and anguish. Their dying, the person who dies in Christ, it is but the door in which they will enter heaven itself. And dwell forever with the Savior where he will wipe every tear from their eye. Oh, what comfort, what consolation, what joy is found even in death for the Christian. Remember the words of Christ to the dying thief. Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. As the dying thief was breathing his last, Christ had a word of comfort for him. You're going to be with me in paradise. Who then are you going to listen to in the face of death? Who then are you going to listen to as you face the reality of your own death? Are you going to listen to the words and the opinions of this world? Are you going to hold to your own opinions and your own ideas? Are you going to hear the word of the Savior? The word of the Savior that says, only believe. And you'll be made whole. How are you going to listen to in death? The comforting promise declared by Christ. Are the empty hollow words of a world that is perishing. You have in this miracle a comforting promise declared. A common problem displayed. Finally, notice with me, we have a conquering power demonstrated in this miracle. A conquering power demonstrated. In verses 41 and 42 it tells us, "And he took the damsel," that is Christ, "took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment." As the Savior enters Jairus' house, he goes to the place where his young girl was lying. And taking her by the hand, he says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." We then read, "Immediately she arose and was able to walk and eat." At Christ's command, death was banished. A new life was implanted in the soul. What a joyful and happy home this now was. From devastation to delight. From tragedy to triumph. From heaviness to happiness. From misery to merriment. Christ's power to deliver from death transformed this whole situation. This was a transformed situation. Completely transformed. Christ conquered and banished death. In closing, what are we to learn from the power of Christ demonstrated in this miracle? What are we to learn? Well, I believe Christ raising Jairus' daughter from the dead teaches us two very important lessons. Two very important lessons. We have in this miracle a glorious truth. A glorious truth. That is the glorious truth that Christ raises dead sinners. That is a glorious truth. In fact, it is one of the most glorious truths ever made known to man. This young lady could do nothing for herself. She was dead. But Christ dealt with her deadness. And Christ gave to her life. And so it is with man and sin. He is spiritually dead. Unable to do anything for himself. Helpless. Yes, tonight you have physical life. And you can act and you can think and you can move. But spiritually, as Ephesians 2 and 1 says, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritually, you're every bit as dead and helpless as this young girl was physically. This is your spiritual state, but Christ can give you new life. Christ can give you eternal life. And that is the glorious truth that is revealed here in this miracle. You've come to God's house as a sinner in your sin, dead in your sin, unable to save your soul. Christ can save you. Christ can save you tonight. If you will seek Him, if you will cry to Him, He can save you. And that is a glorious truth. And so this miracle sets before us a glorious truth. It also sets before us a glorious type. Just as the Lord Jesus took this young lady by the hand and she arose, so it will be as Christ returns to this world on the last day. He will say to all His own children, "I say unto thee, arise." This scene here in the house of Jairus shall be repeated again and again and again and again and again. Simultaneously, on the final day, when Christ comes and takes His dead children by the hand, and He says, "I say unto thee, arise," we will arise. And on that day, we will, for all eternity, walk in our Father's house and feast in our Father's house. You see, this miracle brings before us a glorious type. It sets before us the great and victorious truth of the resurrection. Our resurrection over death itself. What a type it is. But it's only for those who are in Christ. Only for those who are saved. Only for those that are Christ's children. Oh, as we think of this resurrection, as we think of this wonderful miracle, does it fill you with joy and gladness tonight? Even as you think of your own death? And how when it comes, you will have hope in death because Christ is coming back for you? Oh yes, it might be a period of delay as there was with Jairus here. A delay for years. And remember, many of Christ's children have been dead for years. And there is that delay. But He will come back. He will come back. He is coming back for His people. But is He coming back for you? Will you be part of this final deliverance from death? This final and this eternal deliverance. deliverance from death. Christ is only coming back for his children. I trust that he is coming back for you. If he's not, if tonight you're not saved, why not seek Christ tonight? As you are here in this very meeting dying in your sin, why not seek the Prince of Life? And know what it is to be saved and to have this peace that passes all understanding, that even in the face of death, you have this glorious hope, this glorious comfort. May you do so even for Christ's sake. Amen.